Բարի վերադարձ, սիրելի հայրենակիցներ, Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամին։ Կրկին խոսափողի մոտն է Միհրան Թումաջյան, արևմտյան շրջանի տնօրեն Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի։ Առաջի կեսին մենք զրուցեցինք Մարիա Մարտիրոսյանի հետ, ով աշխատում է կոնգրեսում, ներկայացուցիչների տնում։ Երկրորդ կեսին պիտի խոսենք մեր շատ սիրելի ընկերոջ Հարութ Սեմերջյանի հետ, ով նաև աշխատում է Ամերիկայի ներկայացիչների տան մեջ, եւ հատկապես ներկայացիչների տան արտակին, ուրեմն հարցերի հանձնախմբի մեջ։ Մեր զրույցը պիտի կատարենք անգլերեն լեզվով, նախքան զրույցը պիտի Հարութի կենսագրությունը կարդամ անգլերեն լեզվով։ Dear listeners, for the second half of our show, we're honored to have with us my good friend Harut Semerjian. Harut Harry Semerjian is a policy analyst with the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Foreign Affairs. His portfolio includes global energy issues and energy geopolitics, environmental issues, and climate change. Harut is the first and only Armenian American to hold a position with the powerful House Foreign Affairs Committee. Prior to his work in the United States Congress, Harut served as a City of Los Angeles Commissioner on Human Relations, appointed by Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. In that position, he advised the city leadership on ethnic, religious, cultural, and immigration issues. Harut also served as Director of Government Affairs and Resilience Officer for the California Fire Prevention Organization and My Safe LA, a nationally recognized public safety organization and education partner of the Los Angeles Fire Department. Harut received his bachelor's and his first master's in history and Near Eastern studies from the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA. He subsequently received a master's in law and diplomacy from the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University in Massachusetts, and has worked towards his PhD at the University of Oxford, St. Anthony's College, where he researched Turkish-Armenian relations. Harut has been widely published on international issues in leading global newspapers and publications. Harut Semerjian, welcome to the Armenian Assembly of America Weekly Radio Hour. We are honored to have you on, and you and Maria are doing a fantastic job on the Hill. Can't wait to hear more about your very rich portfolio that you tackle on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Bari Ekar.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Miran. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for being here.
Harutjan, if you could shed some light on your formative years, where you grew up, where you went to high school and college, and some of the volunteering that you did during your formative years.
Sure, of course. Well, before I start, Miran, let me first state that the opinions expressed today are my own and do not represent those of Congressman Engel or the U.S. government or the House Foreign Affairs Committee, for that matter. So, again, thank you for having me here. So I was born in Armenia, but my family immigrated to the U.S. when I was only 1 year old. So I've pretty much, almost U.S. born. I'm a product of the L.A. Armenian private school system, if you can call it as such. I graduated from Arshak Dikranian Armenian School in right in the heart of Hollywood. The school unfortunately shut down a few years ago. And as you mentioned, I subsequently went to UCLA. And really, that's where I developed a intense passion for history, where I studied with scholars such as Dr. Richard Hovhannisyan and even the late Stanford Shaw. As you know, Stanford Shaw was a professor of Ottoman and Turkish history.
Sure.
He's infamous for denying the Armenian genocide, but I've learned tremendously from him. And so, after that, I went to Fletcher and Oxford. But during that period, I, of course, volunteered in local organizations. I volunteered with the Armenian consulate back then, where I really, started to understand the life of diplomats, if I may. And so, to me, over the years, the way forward was that history I saw as a pathway to understanding and contributing to international and foreign affairs. So, you know, I studied history for at the bachelor's level, at my master's level, my first master's. And so subsequently, you know, when I went to graduate school to study foreign affairs, I was really able to understand current events better because I had immersed myself in history. So, you know, I would say that, you know, my childhood, my upbringing, my grandfather's stories of the Armenian genocide, my education, my experiences as a volunteer, all led to where I am today, which is in government. So, but I've always known from childhood that I've had this passion for history and politics. So I wanted to be in it one day, and here I am.
And you mentioned government, and I like using the term public service because you are serving the public good. And you have served, as I mentioned in, while reading your biography, you've served in various capacities in public service here in Los Angeles included. I'm curious, and I think our listeners would be interested in knowing or having an idea of the moment or moments that sparked your interest in public service, where you went from the, you know, the mindset of a historian, you know, with your early educational background, can you pinpoint a moment or a few moments where you said, you know, I'm equipped with, you know, such important knowledge of history and modern history, especially, but I want to do something, that benefits the here and now. Was there such a moment?
Actually there was, because, you know, as a historian, you know, historians write history books, you know, historians teach, historians research, historians produce works, which then, of course, the general public, you know, students, but also policymakers, right, especially in Washington, in this case, you know, foreign policy, policymakers actually read these works and impact U.S. government policy. So I think early on, you know, before I even considered, you know, perhaps the opportunities of teaching at a university, I thought to myself, you know, this is wonderful. But I actually want to use this knowledge to make an impact, especially on foreign policy, because, you know, as an Armenian American growing up, you know, to all the stories, you know, of the genocide, our activism, and for decades, you know, the U.S. government, the U.S. Congress had not recognized the genocide, and at the presidential level, it's still unrecognized, except for that one you know, sentence that came from Ronald Reagan back in the days. But so to me, there was this opportunity of trying to make a difference and impact U.S. Government policies on various issues. Of course, I'm not just talking about the Armenian genocide, but issues that I'm passionate about, you know, such as, you know, environmental issues or, you know, geopolitical issues. And of course, at the end of the day, ultimately, we're Americans. And, you know, I want to push for, obviously, U.S. interests throughout the world, and especially areas that interest me, especially like Middle East, Eurasia. So, you know, to answer your question, you know, I made this change, and this wasn't just about public service. This was actually pretty specific to foreign policy, because as far as public service, absolutely, I love public service. I've done it in Los Angeles for many years, working with the communities here in Los Angeles, and that was real public service, where we were out in the field, you know, when I worked for LA City Council, and then as commissioner, you know, we impacted the communities. We worked with the communities. But Congress is different. Congress is more the bigger picture, and especially foreign affairs, right? This is policy impacting, right, U.S. policy and the rest of the world. So I'm truly honored to be in the position I am today. where I serve the U.S. government and I serve the Foreign Affairs Committee and Chairman Engel, and I'm grateful for that every day.
And that's a perfect segue to my next question, which has to do with the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Working there, as you mentioned, is an honor. It's prestigious. It's very, very difficult to work on the House Foreign Affairs Committee or on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, for that matter. You have worked before your current stint in Washington, D.C. You have had some professional experiences working in Washington, D.C., I believe, with the U.S. Department of Defense contracting. What could you tell us about your initial service in D.C. Compared to your current stint on the Hill and work on the Hill? Was your initial service a true harbinger for your future service? Was that initial dive essentially a spark telling you, you know what, if I can get back here, in a bigger and better capacity, I definitely want to take advantage if such opportunities open. Tell us about your DC experience generally.
Sure. So I will be very brief. And yes, to answer your question, absolutely. I think those couple of years that I spent in Washington, D.C., probably about a decade ago, were probably the most important years as far as my career is concerned, because even though back then, yes, I worked for a Department of Defense contractor, I was a policy analyst on Iraq, Afghanistan, but that wasn't where I saw myself, 10 years from then. However, what was critical for me was that while I was there working, I was networking, right? So networking
very
is
important.
Perhaps the most critical thing that anyone, any college student or anyone for that matter can do, mid-career or even someone advanced in their careers, right? Everyone's looking for change, everyone's networking. And so those were the most important years because while I was working, I was also attending events on the Hill with different advocacy groups. And that's when I met members of Congress. That's where I met staffers. That's where I that was the real eye opener for me, because little did I know that, 8 years later or 9 years later, the Democrats would once again flip the House and new opportunities would arise. And as a result, I would actually use those connections that I've made back in the days to land a job once again in D.C., but this time on the Hill, working for a committee that I've always wanted to work on. So, yes, those were critical years. That job that I had with the DOD contractor was a great stepping stone. And, here I am today again in Washington years later. So
that's great. And you're absolutely right about the networking part, the connections that one makes, in any given moment in their professional career. You never know when your connections and friendships could come in handy and mutually handy. Down the road. So I'm glad that you were able to, build your network, both in Boston, greater Boston, when you were at Tufts in the United Kingdom, when you were at Oxford, and also in D.C. Haru, we've got about 6 minutes, just under 6 minutes. You've got such a rich portfolio that you handle on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Again, dear listeners, Harut's portfolio includes global energy issues, energy geopolitics, environmental issues, and climate change. Harut, you've been busy recently on Arctic energy matters, if I'm not mistaken. If you could shed some light on what's going on in the Arctic, there's a race, I think, for natural resources, and please shed some light on that.
No, absolutely. So before the Arctic, just one minute on pre-Arctic matters. I should state that aside from working for HVAC, I also staff the Congressional Energy and National Security Caucus, which Congressman Elliot Engel chairs, along with Congressman Francis Rooney from New York. So we oftentimes have different events related to energy, environment, both from the caucus and also from the Foreign Affairs Committee, where my portfolio includes energy environmental issues, broadly speaking. But if you really kind of narrow it down, there are multiple areas that I focus on. For example, there's the geopolitical component, there's the environmental lens and human rights defenders component, right? There's other natural resources aside from energy. There's the issue of dams. And of course, a priority for us and for the chairman is the development of renewable and green energy, right? So wind, hydro, solar, geothermal. Over the last couple of years, I've put together a number of briefings in Congress on issues that are important both to me and HVAC. Important meaning they're of interest to me. So, for example, we had a briefing not too long ago on the Eastern Mediterranean energy issues. Recent gas discoveries in the Eastern Mediterranean have increased the importance of the region. And now these great powers and regional powers are grappling with issues of development of these resources, exports, pipelines. There's a potential war, God forbid, but a dispute between Greece and Turkey on these issues. So that's always very interesting. And other issues I've worked on are, the Nord Stream and Turk Stream pipelines, undersea pipelines going from Russia to Europe. Yes, as you mentioned, the latest project that I've been working on is the Arctic region. Now, to the average person, Arctic just sounds like, snow and ice, right?
Isolated region. Melting snow, I think, these days.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so what's critical about the Arctic is that even though for many years it's been considered as simply a frozen region, things are changing rapidly because the Arctic is warming at double the rate of the rest of the world. So the ice is melting, right? And so this is opening the region up for commerce, transportation, and resource extraction. Now, that creates problems because now you have all these great powers like the U.S., Russia, China, who are trying to influence the Arctic. Even China, where China is not an Arctic nation, they're trying to develop a polar Silk Road in that region. So that's causing tensions because the Arctic is rich in natural resources. It has lots of oil and gas, even though it's very costly to drill in that area because of the how the Arctic is, is situated, and all the difficulties in the environment. And so, so I've been working on that issue. I recently put together a briefing in the U.S. Congress. We had experts from all over the world. We even had the top Arctic official from Iceland join us, as well as the top U.S. Arctic specialist from the Department of Energy joining us, along with specialists from think tanks and academics. So it was a very healthy, meaningful briefing where members of Congress were asking questions. And it was definitely a success, even though a lot of work remains to be done in this area, because the Arctic is just opening up to the rest of the world with, climate change and all these other changes that are taking place around the world. So,
That sounds so interesting. We certainly could probably devote an entire 20 minutes additional to talking more about the Foreign Affairs Committee and your work on it, your wonderful work on it, and also on the caucus, the caucus that you mentioned, the Energy and National Security
National
Caucus.
Security. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our hats off to you. Thank you for your service, for your public service. You're doing a wonderful job on the Hill, and we are so pleased to have you, you know, this evening on the Armenian Assembly Weekly Radio Hour. Thank you for devoting time from your busy day. And again, we look forward to having you on. There's plenty more we could talk about, I'm sure, with respect to your portfolio. And wish you all the best, Harut.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Miran. I appreciate the time.
Սիրելի հայրենակիցներ, այսպեսով մենք եզրափակում ենք այս շաբաթվա ռադիո ժամը, ռադիո հաղորդումը. Հուսով ենք, որ առողջ եք և ապահով, և հաջորդ շաբաթ նորից կմիանաք մեզ հետ. Բարի օր և բարի շաբաթ.